Good afternoon. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. It's so good, so good, so good, as always, to be back with you on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm sending you all the love and light as you join us in this time of togetherness. And speaking of together, the CIUT community is celebrating the fall fundraising drive this week, and with the generous assistance and financial support of our wonderful global community, that's you, we continue to be an oasis of creativity on the FM dial. And so it's right here, my friends, right here, where for over 30 years, the rich curation of community programming has been happening. And so we thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for sharing with us. Thank you for joining us on this wonderful journey. We really appreciate your support. And in showing that support, we invite you to visit CIUT.fm and click on the donate button to show us some continued love. Or you can give us a ring. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a ring at 416-946-7800 or toll free at 1-888-204-8976. Well, this afternoon, as I'm entering into this space, I've been reflecting on this word, awareness. I read an article by Lauren Ritchie and Poppy DeCloud entitled Building Resilience. This article was on the Healthy Dancer Canada website, and you'll know that we've shared about the wonderful organization on our show many times in past. And the article shared on this concept of awareness and what it consists of, that it consists of shifting attention to one's thoughts, emotions, and physiology at any given moment to better realize how mind and body are interpreting a situation or experience. And that the practice of awareness, it also shares, the practice of awareness supports the mental agility and flexible thinking required to build resilience. So check out this article when you have an opportunity to at healthydancercanada.org. The article also spoke to self-reflection and tools that we can consider as we're navigating our journey in dance. So I've been reflecting on that word today, friends, awareness, awareness. And in that space of discussion, I became aware that a colleague of mine has released a new workbook entitled You Came to Slay, which explores personal questions of self-discovery and unlocking potential. I'm so thrilled to welcome back to the show coming up today. Sean Byfield is in the house, will be with me for the full hour. So stay tuned and stay locked in right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back after this. You're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. My guest today, Sean Byfield's mission is to revolutionize classrooms, inspire greatness in seasoned and aspiring artists, and to make learning fun. He's a Dora Maber Moore Award winner, a certified public speaker, two-time Black Canadian Awards nominee, a certified coach and trainer through John Maxwell Leadership, and a Gemini Award nominee. Now, you will also know him as a past guest host right here on Turnout Radio, and I'm thrilled again to welcome him to the broadcast. Sean Byfield, welcome to the house. It's so good to sit down with you. How are you doing?
Reunited, and it feels so good. Oh, we're back. Miss Hamilton, I'm excited. Hi, I'm feeling great. I'm so happy to be here with you and with this audience. And you were mentioning earlier about just the oasis of creativity.
Yes.
And you know what? This has nothing to do with Turnout, just so you know. This has everything to do with CIUT, because as a youth, I used to listen to the station with my mom, a little behind the scenes there. And there was always a program that we would tune into that would always just spark my energy. I was already energetic as a kid anyway, but it just made me remember, you know, I've been listening to the station for years and years since I was a kid. The different songs and the interviews, it was inspiring my mom back then. So I don't want to take up too much time, but it just made me reflect on, wow, this has definitely been a part, I didn't even realize, but it's been a part of my culture and my upbringing. And to go full circle, to be able to co-host with you, and another rotation where I'm now being interviewed by you, is an enlightening moment for me. So I just wanted to share that.
Well, Sean, I appreciate you sharing that so much, because I think that this station has had a wonderful influence and has been such a great inspiration in my life. It's been a part of my growth and my education, and it's lovely. It's really lovely to hear how it has been a part of your world as well. So thank you for sharing that. And shout out to your mom.
Oh, Yvonne will love, she'll love hearing that.
Yeah, shout out to your mom. Hello.
Hey, mom.
Well, Sean, it's so good to be sitting down with you. A lot has changed since you were on the show last. A lot has changed. I want to highlight a couple of different things, if I may. During the course of this beautiful journey in dance and more, you have gotten married.
You like this, right? You see this? You see that bling?
Well, for those of you who are tuning in and listening via audio, Sean is pointing out his wedding ring. I was so excited. You know, I just adore your wife, whose name also is Nicole. Nicole Byfield, wonderful human. Yeah, what can I say about Nicole? What a wonderful human being.
That she is, and that is why I married her.
And congratulations to you and to Nicole. And also, more things have changed because you have left the Toronto arena, not in spirit, just physically, right? Because you're still with us in spirit. And you are now living in BC.
They say West Coast, West Coast. A term I heard years and years ago, and they're not wrong. The region is gorgeous. Kelowna, British Columbia, the sights, the sunsets, surrounded by mountains, the spectacular sun shining on the Lake Okanagan every day. Toronto, I love you. Toronto, I love you. However, it doesn't compare to the majestic views of British Columbia. I encourage everybody to take a trip. Come visit me, come hang out. I'll, you know, show you around. And chances are when people come, they won't want to leave.
Well, we are not going to compare BC and Toronto on this broadcast because because there are so many folks who are tuning in from Toronto and who are also tuning in from BC. So I'm going to sit right here in the middle and say both are absolutely stunning and beautiful.
I agree with you. And they both have their pros and energies and love and vibrancy. Yes. And I do enjoy coming back to Toronto to visit people and to work and such. So, but, you know, just think about it, friends. Think about it.
Sean's trying to get us all to move out to Kelowna. Well, shout out to our audience members who are in Kelowna. Thank you so much for tuning in over these many years. And of course, to our folks here in Toronto and across the world who tune in. We just have so much love for all of you. And yeah, Sean, to know that you had moved over to Kelowna and to see the joy that you're spreading over there has been so wonderful to watch.
Thank you. I appreciate all that love.
Well, you're welcome. Well, you listen, friend, you wrote a book. You wrote a book, which we're going to be getting into shortly. But before we do that, let's talk about you, Sean Byfield. You're a coach, you're a mentor, and so many other things. And I find that when I think about those words, coach, and in particular, mentor, I'm focusing on that word right now, I consider the fact that that work often requires a great deal of active engagement, Sean, and active listening, advising, of course, collaboration. Where did that desire begin for you to move in that direction of sitting in that seat of mentoring and also coaching?
That's a wonderful question. I've always leaned towards the personal growth side of things, not because of dance. Here's a story. When I was in my teens, I worked, I can't believe I'm sharing this. I worked at Burger King, okay, for 3 years. In that time period, there was a manager, a store manager, who was just radiating positivity. He was a wonderful mentor to all of us on the team. And I remember thinking, you know, I would love to have that skill set. I would love to be able to walk into a room and people stop what they're doing. They pay attention. They listen to the feedback and they actually apply the things. So what I ended up doing was talking to him and saying, you know, I would love to become a better person and a better man. This is teenage 14, 15-year-old Sean here. But I knew there was more in me. I knew there was something else that I could contribute. And I wasn't really sure what that was until Burger King. So the manager said, you know what you need to do? You need to go to Burger King University. And I first thought, well, what? Burger King has a university? And he said, no, but they have what we call a university. They have a room filled with leadership books. Oh, and it's all at head office.
Right.
Oh, so what I would do is after school, I would catch the bus. And this is in Mississauga, Ontario. Catch the bus and I would go to Burger King University, which is at their head office by Square One. I walked inside and I introduced myself saying, hi, I'm Sean. My manager sent me here. And they said, oh yeah, we've been waiting for you. You said you wanted to check out some books. So come on in. So here I am, you know, 15-year-old gangly Sean walking in bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. And they had books after books after books of stuff to fuel my brain and to help me become a better person. I had never seen that many books before. Just, you know, we didn't have lots of resources growing up. You know, I definitely was on the lower end of the income scale in our family. And I was just very appreciative that I was able to sign out a book and read things. And so over time, that fueled my desire to want to also coach other people to have that spark in them. And I wanted to be able to apply it to dance. So now, fast forward 30 years later, it's so natural for me to glue it all together, to understand that your success in dance isn't just about the steps. It's not just about how high you can kick. It's not about how many pirouettes you can spin. It's about understanding what goes on upstairs between the ears. And once you understand more about your thoughts, then you're able to transform the trajectory of your career. So that's how it all came to be.
Well, this is so interesting to me because a number of things come to mind. I'm considering something that Vivian Scarlett had shared with me, and I've shared on this show before, Vivian Scarlett being the founder of Dance Immersion. When it comes to mentorship, and in particular, having a mentorship or a circle of individuals, a mentorship circle and also a mentorship care circle, the importance of having it is critical. And it's in that space that Vivian, over the years, who's also been a wonderful mentor to me, has reminded me very often that none of us can do this work alone. And so I'm curious to know, when I reflect on what you shared and also on the thoughts of Vivian, over the course of the years, Sean, you have worked in film and television, you've been on stages. When you look back at the individuals who have mentored you, what are some of those seeds that were planted? What did you take from those moments that you now move forward and provide and sow into the individuals that you mentor?
Another wonderful question. Thank you for asking. The studio I grew up in was in Mississauga. And the original studio owner, her name was Heather. And one of the gems that Heather has left with me was, everybody come as you are. Everybody is accepted. Everybody matters. And so one of the things that, as a coach, that I love to encourage others is, come as you are, with your quirks, with your idiosyncrasies, with your frustrations, with your passions. Bring everything to the table, because everything makes you a part of you. All these things make you who you are. So I was able to take that from her. One of the other inspirations would be from Brian Tracy. And Brian Tracy, many people might know him. He's been a speaking coach and a business coach for centuries, I feel like. And I was at an event in California. Brian Tracy was speaking at this event, and he was the first coach that I saw who didn't have crazy PowerPoints and gadgets and gizmos and things like that. He just used the power of his voice. And with his voice, he was able to let people know that we all have strengths, and sometimes we need to think about those strengths. Now, the reason I share this is because Brian was the first person to get me to be not busy. I think as dancers, we tend to be overwhelmed with doing all the things and trying to do stuff. And he made me realize, no, take a step back and just think about what your strengths are. What is it that you love to do? So I took that time to think. And when I coach, I now take the time to help others think, what is it that you actually enjoy? What are your strengths? Let's write those down and have moments of awareness. Earlier in the intro, you were talking about awareness, and it made me think self-discovery is key. So to have time to think about where you are, what it was that got you here. Are you happy being here? Are you happy with your current results? And where is it that you want to be later on? So these are all important questions we can dive into later on if you like as well. But I definitely think those were two highlight discoveries for me growing up, and being able to take those and shape them, not just in the dance world, but use them to help vocalists, use them to help producers, use them to help actors discover what their strengths are so they can shine and be the brightest human they can be. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. It really does. And in that space of discovery, I'm reflecting or thinking about what it means to reflect, what it means to self-reflect. And I had mentioned the article that I was reading, Sean, on Healthy Dancer Canada. And there's a lot of value in what you're sharing when we consider self-reflection in and of itself. This article that I was reading shared that reflective moments enable dancers to become curious about what is effective and also what is harmful to our artistic practice and growth. And so I honor the self-reflection process. And I don't think that that was something that I did very often as a younger artist. I don't think I did. I think what was more important for me as a much, much, much younger artist in those beginning stages was to do as I was told.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's a common thing.
Right. And that was how I was conditioned, you know, to do as I was told, you know, here's your choreography and you learn it, you go and you present it, you produce it on stage, and then you keep moving forward in that space. And so over the course of the many years that I've been journeying through life and learning about self and learning about my artistic practice, this conversation of self-reflection and its importance has really become a huge part of my practice. And so I want to come back to how it is that you have also benefited from that self-reflection. When I look at self-reflection in and of itself, I don't think that it's always an easy thing for us to do as humans, because it can often invite many different thoughts, sometimes that are unexpected. But then there are also those moments in self-reflection that I mentioned that allows for us to think about what is effective and what promotes growth in different ways.
Yeah, I think self-discovery and self-reflection is easy if your upbringing has encouraged you to be in that space. So I always have stories. Here's a story. When I was maybe 5, my mom brought me over to one of her best friends' house, her apartment, and I was playing in the bedroom with her friend's child as well. My mom and her friend were in the living room having a conversation. Well, me being curious walks into the living room and I'm just standing, listening to what they're talking about. And then at some point, I asked a question and they kind of dismissed me. And I asked another question and my mom says, "Sean, why are you so nosy?" And I said, "Well, if I'm not nosy, then how am I going to learn?" And they both looked at each other and laughed and said, "He's not wrong." And so now that nosiness, now that I'm older, it's not me being nosy, it was curiosity. I always wanted to discover things. And I think as children, we're innately curious. We want to learn stuff. But then when you have an upbringing that squashes that, that says, you know what, you don't need to know this right now. Go to your room. Go do something else. Go, you know, distract yourself with anything else, but stop asking me questions you're asking. Once that starts to build up, we stop that self-reflection because we're told to stop doing it. Like you said, just do as you're told, just follow instructions. And that's rampant many times in the dance community, whereas a choreographer will come in and say, "Hey, this is what I want this to look like. So just do these steps. Just turn the way I want you to turn. Just go across the floor the way I want you to go." And it doesn't allow the opportunity for dancers to step back and say, "Well, how do I resonate with this movement? How do I connect? You know, how maybe I have a different way of exploring this music. that will also help to enhance the peace. But many times we're not encouraged to think that way. And so what I'm trying to do is let dancers know, let teachers know, let parents know, it's okay to ask the questions, because you never know, you might bring extra layers of awesomeness on top of that. Whereas if we're just doing as we're told, you might just get vanilla. But if you start self-discovery and incorporate some reflection into there, now you've got the Neapolitan, now you've got the mint chocolate chip, now you've got the rum and raisin. All the different flavors are now being brought to this table, which makes it that much more delicious.
So let's dig into this further, because this is very interesting. I love this discussion. Very often when self-reflection occurs, what can transpire thereafter is self-discovery. And what can then transpire very often is a certain amount of awareness of how we are in space. And I'm curious, because of the fact that I consider the fact that self-reflection indeed is easier for some to sit back, to explore self, to consider our internal connection, to consider our practice and more. Self-reflection may be easy for some, but what about those individuals that it's not easy for? How do they get there? Individuals who have encountered trauma, individuals who have encountered pain, individuals who have encountered injury. How do we get there if self-reflection is not easily attained, if it's not something that we have the recipe to access? And I say that because I consider that, Sean, that this dilemma that sometimes we have as humans with sitting with self and taking those moments to really reflect on how we are showing up in the world. And so that leads me to that thought. How do we get there? How do you, in fact, mentor individuals? What are some of those shares that happen in that engagement process when an individual doesn't know how to connect in that way, how to access and facilitate self-reflection?
That's a great question. So first of all, one, I think the most important starting process of this is there has to be desire from that person first. If there's no desire, if they don't want to even explore new options, if they don't want to discover anything new, then you're pretty much facing a wall. And the way that I like to see things is our world, we have this house, okay? We live in this home, but there's always a door somewhere to be opened. It's never enjoyable to just stay in a room for the entire time. There's so many other rooms to explore, but you need to want to open the door first. And if you're not willing to open the door, then you're going to be stuck in the same room. Then I think once you decide, so this comes to decision, once you decide that, yes, I do want to open this door, why are you wanting to open this door? I think a lot of us are afraid to ask the question why we want the things. Why do we do what we do? Right. So for me, I know I want to open the door because I want to experience more things. I want to also contribute. I want to know that I have left some significance in the world. So that is why I'm opening, because every door that I open is going to introduce me to another who, another person who is going to somehow enrich my life, like when I was a kid, like when I was a teenager. Okay. And then I think, to answer your question again, is we don't ask ourselves enough questions. And I don't think we ask ourselves enough of the right questions, because I believe the quality of our question determines the quality of the answers that we receive. So once we start asking ourselves better questions, then we can experience a better outcome, maybe, or a better result. I don't know. What do you think about that, Nicole? Because this whole personal growth world, it's so fascinating, right? There are so many experiences. There's so many lessons to be learned. And we're never with all the answers. You know, I tell my students too, that if you're the smartest person in the room, then you need a new room. You need to get out of that I know everything mindset and get into the I want to learn more mindset. And the more that you get into that, the more you discover there's so much more that you don't know. Mm. Isn't that fascinating?
Mm. Wow. Yeah, it really is. I do think about the fact that the older that I get, I think, okay, yes, I'm learning here. And I now understand this other dimension of my being and how I'm showing up in the world. And then the day after I realize, oh, okay, well, here's a reminder that I still have so much to learn.
Right.
So human beings, we are so beautiful and complicated and unique and inquisitive, curious. There's so many things that describe who and what we are. And I think in that space of self-reflection, and even in that space of self-discovery, Sean, what I've learned over the years and what has helped me greatly is self-compassion.
Mm-hmm.
That has
yes.
helped me greatly, stepping into that space of self-compassion and recognizing the importance of that has guided me more deeply into a space of reflection and also awareness of the truth of who I am. And that self-compassion has, I think, it's totally shifted the atmosphere for me, because I've realized, Sean, sometimes in life, sometimes we are conditioned to take care of other people and sometimes not conditioned. And let me speak on behalf of myself. I'm going to speak on behalf of myself. There have been moments where I've been conditioned and taught to take care of other people so beautifully, and yet have not been taught the same, with the same weight, how to take care of myself. And that's why this matter, this concept, the ideas around self-compassion have been so huge for me, literally mind-altering, because I acknowledge in that space of self-compassion, you did good today, Nicole. Or, you know what, Nicole, maybe it wasn't what you wanted to do, or it wasn't what you wanted to produce, but give yourself all the love right now because you made it through it. You got
okay.
through it, you know? So in that space of self-compassion, I think it has opened up a lot of thought for me in learning how to love myself more deeply, forgive myself at times, and to also open myself up to greater learning and understanding of who Nicole is.
This is some profound conversation we're having right now. So let's bring this into the dance world, okay? What I see is, as a dancer, I think it's a challenge for us to dive into recognizing, that's the word I'm looking for. It's hard for us to recognize that we've done something well. And I think it's because in dance, there's always a higher summit. When we're taught to do pirouettes, can you do one? We work hard, we get to the one, and our teacher says, can you do two? And then you work hard to do two, and then they say, can you do three? And we're always going up this mountain, but at no point is there a recognition of you did great. You did the thing. Let's take a moment and congratulate ourselves for the hard work that we put into that. So I feel like over time, we start to feel like maybe we're not good enough because we're not being recognized for the achievements that we do get to. But it's like, did we achieve something? Because there's another summit that I still need to climb. And so-and-so can get five pirouettes, and then you get to five, but so-and-so can do seven pirouettes, and then you get to seven, well, so-and-so can do eight pirouettes, and we continuously challenge ourselves to just keep going and doing more without taking a moment to say, Sean, wow, did you recognize what you just did there? Do you know how lucky you are and how grateful you should be for everything? You have your splits, your kit, your bat ma is gorgeous. Did you see your arabesque? Like, we're not encouraged to just take a moment and appreciate. Like, we're unicorns. Dancers are unicorns, legit. We are magical creatures that can do things that no other human can do. Yet the world sometimes says, wow, look at what Nicole can do. Look at what Sean can do. But Nicole and Sean internally are saying, well, I'm not good enough. I don't know if I can continue going. And we're so hard on ourselves. So I think it's a cultural shift that needs to happen where, as educators, we take time to acknowledge, listen, what you just did is magnificent. You should be so proud of yourself. I am so proud of you. Let's take a moment and celebrate that and really embed it into our brains and then ask questions. What do you think how you did on that turn or that jeté? So once you start asking questions, it gets people, it gets dancers thinking, well, yeah, I really enjoyed that. And now let's ask the question, what else could we do? Do you think you could do four pirouettes instead of three? So now by asking the question, we have more engagement. It's not me telling you, you now need to do this. You need to keep going. What do you want to do now? Do you want to try four? Maybe you can try five. What do you think about this? And let the dancer say, you know, that'd be a worthy goal for me. I bet you that I can do four. Okay, let's see what happens. There's no wrong answer. If you get three, awesome. If you get four, awesome, right? But it's about reflecting and taking the time to acknowledge that there's greatness within you. Let's take a moment and celebrate and share that with everybody. A lot of times we're afraid to share because we're, well, that's a whole other conversation, is fear. Right. And we don't have time on this conversation to dive into everything, but that fear does hold us back from taking a moment to say, I did something wonderful and I'm proud of who I am and I'm grateful for this experience. And I think a lot of us need to reflect and take a step back and live in a world of gratitude, because things can always be worse. You know this, right? Everybody has roller coasters in life. It's not just through dance. And if you take a moment to say, okay, I did great. I am grateful. It could be worse, and I'm happy to be here. I think that will change how we dance, how we create, how we interact with our audiences. And that interaction affects the audience member to make them say, hey, I feel what they feel. I'm feeling inspired just as they're feeling inspired. Who knows? That could change. This could literally, dance can literally change the world. We'll be right back.
The CIUT Fall Fundraising Drive is on now, running from November 13th straight through to the 19th. For over 30 years, this station has been an oasis of creativity on the FM dial and is a unique and standalone operation whose roots tie in with the concept and the philosophy behind free and open format radio programming. We invite you to support the continued work of CIUT and Turnout Radio by donating at CIUT.fm or by calling 416-946-7800 or toll free at 1-888-204-8976. Thank you for being on this journey with us as we share and engage in the conversations and stories that live both on and beyond the stage. Let's continue this groove together. Sean, you have a new workbook entitled You Came to Slay, which encompasses a lot of these questions and thoughts that we've been speaking about today, and also some tips. So talk to us now. Tell us about the book and what drove you to write it right now in this season of your career.
You Came to Slay was brought about because as an adjudicator, I travel across the country. Year after year, I get to see the next generation of superhero performers. And what I've been noticing over the past couple of years is the challenge that dancers have with their self-confidence. I've noticed that over the past couple of years, dancers get onto a stage and they shine bright like a diamond. And as soon as they exit the stage, shoulders shrug forward, their head, their chin drops, they cry. And I'll ask them, why are you crying? What's happening right now? And they are so hard on themselves. They feel like they just didn't do well. Even though I will get on the stage and say, wow, that was incredible. You are magical. I loved your performance. The audience loved you. But internally, they aren't feeling and thinking the same thing. So over time, I realized, okay, I'm going to start taking some notes. And at different competitions, I would literally go back to my hotel, write down some notes, some observations that I've seen. And I realized it's because as a dancer, we're not always taught how to think well. We're not always taught how to think things through. So I feel like what I needed to do was create a book, which is a workbook that allows dancers to self-reflect. And I've created a whole bunch of thought-provoking questions that will help dancers think things through. In our earlier part of our conversation, we're talking about the dance and we talk about the steps and things, but we're not taught how to mentally prepare for an audition. We're not taught how to deal with setbacks and challenges and failures. A lot of times, dancers that are competitive will get to a point in their life where they're frustrated because their environment is about winning. It's about winning the stuff. And there's value, yes, in winning, but there's also value in losing. So how do you navigate both of those gracefully? I ask these questions, and I, in the book, ask questions and I make dancers think, write it down. When was the last time you had a major setback? And how did that affect your performance? Right. And there's lines for them to write it out. And then I make them think about what would you have done differently? Because these are questions, a lot of times educators don't have the time in the classroom to ask these questions because they're focused on getting choreography done, you know? And then, you know, asking questions about their future a year from now, 5 years from now, how do you see yourself? How do you see yourself dealing with a setback better? Now that you know this experience and you've taken away a lesson from it, how would that affect a future setback or a future failure or future success? What does success even look like for you? No one asks us these things. And then we get to a point in our life where many times we're jaded, we're upset, we're frustrated. And I figure, you know what? Let's put a book together that allows dancers the opportunity to reflect on some deep questions and make them say, you know, I never saw things that way. No one's ever asked me this before. And it's tough. Like you had mentioned before, it's hard to sit back and ask yourself questions. So I've saved dancers the time of coming up with your own. And just here's a starting point. So that's what this book is. It's a starting point to being a tremendous human, a wonderful performer, and experiencing a life that they deserve.
I think that these questions are so needed, and I'm so glad that we're talking about this, Sean. I am cognizant of some of the spaces that have really encouraged me, I think a little later in my career, to consider asking these questions. And of course, mentors like Vivian, as I had mentioned earlier. There is, I think, a beauty that I've discovered in sitting with self. And as we've ascertained, yeah, not always an easy thing to do, because it can sometimes evoke uncomfortable things that we need to address about ourselves and our growth. And as we've also ascertained, can evoke and cause us to consider the many beautiful things about who we are in our growth process. And so I'm very in that space of gratitude as you're speaking. I do consider organizations and people who have are out there supporting in these discussions. Vivian Scarlett, thank you. Thank you, Vivian Scarlett. And to other organizations like Healthy Dancer Canada, of course, and Safe and Dance, and the International Association of Dance Medicine and Science. And so I love the fact that we're addressing these concepts of what it means to sit with self. I'm curious, what are some of those practical questions? What are some of those things, if you can give us a few ideas, of the questions that you would have individuals address with self in the book?
One question off the top of my head, because there are so many off the top of my head, is picture someone who is successful at what they are doing. What are some of the traits or the qualities that they have that you feel you could incorporate into your own craft? So that just came to my head, because a lot of times we forget that we can learn from other people, and not in a competitive way. We're taught many times in this dance world to see everybody kind of as a threat. And then we get older, as we go to auditions, oh, well, you know, so-and-so's here, so I need to dance better than that person, or I need to sing louder than that person. And that's not necessarily true. There's so much we can learn from that other individual that will help us to improve how we dance, how we sing, how we act. So that's one of the questions. What are the qualities that you see from them that you can take, if there's anything that really inspires you? And this is now taking the question and the focus off of yourself, and kind of just taking a step back and looking and just observing. Like 5-year-old Sean was observing and just listening to other people's conversations and learning from that. It's the same stuff. I'm literally just taking experiences from my upbringing and as we get older and applying them to the questions we can now ask ourselves as dancers. And I hope that these questions will help dancers to realize you don't have to figure everything out right now. And you don't have to figure it all out yourself. There's people, professionals like yourself and myself, who are here who want to help, who have been through that roller coaster. And you don't need to go down and spiral to discover something valuable. You can just take someone else's experience of going down and spiraling and just learn from the value and continue growing from that point. I hope that makes sense.
It does. And I'm mindful of, as you're sharing, this beautiful opportunity that we can access when we are learning from other mentors, from individuals who do inspire us. And I think about how significant and beautiful it is to also consider the power of who we are in the world, that we can actually also learn from self. And in that recognition, realizing just how much value, how much worth we have in this world. And I'm meditating on that, Sean, because I think you and I have adjudicated on stages together, and between the both of us have adjudicated in so many different places. And we've had these wonderful opportunities to work with a lot of young voices who are learning so much. And at the same time, we have also witnessed just how much even the competitive sector, the competition sector, for example, can put dancers in a position where the competition can sometimes exist beyond that competition space. And so for me and you and many others, we are, like you shared earlier, often conditioned to compete against one another, to consider each other a threat. And it's in that space that I'm so mindful of the fact that in order to push back that idea or that notion of being a threat to one another, what if we actually consider that each of us has something so authentic, so incredible, so exciting, so beautiful, so lovely to offer this world? What if we were to step into that place?
Come on now, preach.
And thinking about how we do that, I consider how we do that, but what if we were to step into that place? And that, I think, is one of those centers of the self-discovery, the self-actualization, the self-awareness, the self-reflection that we're talking about. What if we were to go to that place and to consider that we have, each of us has so much to give? And so I'm very excited about the questions that you are asking here and what it has the potential to do in the aspect of reflection.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited too. I'm excited to find out what dancers truly want in their life. Are you working because you want the trophy? Is that really the thing? Because I'm not discrediting that. Everybody loves something shiny with sparkle, right? But what brings more value for me, it's not about what you get. Like at competition, the real value is not in what you get. The real value is in who you become. That is more important. And I think if dancers start to take a step back and realize, you know what, it doesn't matter that I win this trophy. What's more valuable is the person I had to become in order to achieve that. That's where the greatness lies. Because then you can give the trophy away, right? You can give it to someone else and you now have the skill sets to do anything else. And I think to sum this up, because I know we're gonna be running out of time, I think these questions will help dancers not quit. Because we do see dancers who are incredibly, profoundly, super strong at their skill sets, and then they stop dancing. And I think if they take a moment to reflect and say, hey, you know, I love what I'm doing. I'm grateful for this experience. And I've learned so much, then that's gonna keep them going. And you can't lose if you don't quit. Thank you.
Sean, it's been such a pleasure to sit down with you. It's such a pleasure to be here with you. You always bring such a smile to my face. We've had a lot of fun over the course of these past many years, whether it's been adjudicating together or co-hosting together or just laughing together in certain spaces that we've worked in. And I want to thank you for being here today. Always a pleasure.
I am so grateful. Thank you. And if I can leave you with anything, it's this. The most important conversations we can have are the conversations we have with ourselves.
All right. Now, well, you heard it from Sean. There is much to unpack about that. So maybe we should have a part 2 and 3 and 4 straight through to 25 of this interview. Yeah, there's much to unpack about that. Thank you, Sean. Thank you.
Let's go.
And thank you again for being here. You are joy. I'm looking so forward to seeing you again next. I believe the last time we saw each other in Toronto was at the Toronto Dance Teacher Expo. But hopefully we will have an opportunity to see each other again very soon. Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully. Head on down to Toronto or I'll head over there.
Come on over.
Thank you, Sean. So great speaking with you.
You're the best. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Today, you've been listening to the sounds of Cannonball Adderley with Autumn Leaves and John Coltrane with Blue Train. Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. Well, we've come to the end of our broadcast, and I want to take this moment to thank Sean Byfield for sitting in with me today. I'm always so grateful for the conversations that we have on and off the air. Thank you, Sean. And Sean's new workbook, You Came to Slay, is out now and available for purchase. And as shared by Sean, the workbook opens up thought-provoking questions and practical ideas to support in self-reflection and discovery. You can find out more about Sean and the book at seanbyfield.com. Thank you to all of you for tuning in during this hour, and many thanks as well for supporting Turnout Radio and CIUT during the fall fundraising drive this week. We invite you to check out archives of our show by visiting turnoutradio.com and also to connect with us by emailing turnoutradio@ciut.fm. Technical production of today's broadcast was facilitated by Amber Downeyback. Join us again next week for another broadcast of Turnout Radio. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance. Thank you.